Welcome to the second half of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff, and I am a host, and my views are the
the views topic. Of the host. I know the disclaimer at the beginning always makes it so like we're just going to talk like, crap the whole time.
Yeah, really. What, you don't want to believe anything I say? What?
Come on. It's true.
Hey, our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery. They're our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. And they're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake, right in between the Oasis Road and Pine Grove exits.
Next to the pencil, but not the eraser.
Not the erasers. There you go. So go up and see them if you're looking for a tractor or an implement or a mower. They've got a pretty good inventory right now. Mowers are getting a little skinny. It's late in the season, and mower sales are pretty much over. But go up and see what they've got and get a great deal right now. Their phone number is 530-226-9226. Or you can go online and get on the interweb. And,
an interweb one day. One day, Bill's going to get the interweb.
Yeah,
you're going to hear is, and that's it.
Interweb. www.papemachinery.com.
Okay, the part they needed spelled was Pape. It's P-A-P-E.
Yeah, they got the W-W-W part.
Yeah, they got that part, all right.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah, there you have it. Simple. Simple. Anyone could do this. Even us.
Yeah, even the hosts that have no opinions.
I tell you what, you get tired and everything seems funnier.
Yeah.
Some people get tired and they get all grumpy.
Yeah.
I don't know, everything just seems funny to me when I'm tired. So, Mr. Allison, back to you. And you're funny, so you were really... I knew you were on today, and I thought, oh, that's so perfect. We're going to be super tired, and he is so much fun. Oh, my gosh. I pulled up the archive, and I was listening the other day from a couple of... when we had you on a couple of weeks ago, and I was kind of cracking up. You remind me of the guy that's on Skinwalker Ranch, the science guy...
I know him.
Travis Taylor.
Do you know that guy?
He's a buddy of mine. I know him. He's a buddy of mine.
Oh, my gosh. I knew it. I'm like, they've got to be connected. Because last time
he wrote me, get this.
Yeah.
He wrote me into doing a Nat Geo special on alien invasion of Earth.
Outstanding.
Oh, yeah.
But when I heard his solution, I said, I'm actually in the background launching blades, but when I heard his solution, before it came time to interview me, I walked off.
We got your back on that one. If you want to float that, you know, on kind of a test plot.
Is that like a balloon pun there?
Yeah, there's a little balloon pun there.
I want to float it. I'm sending you an email. It's got a link to my Galactic Greg's channel and some videos from the Galactic Greg's channel, and also links to my Green Greg's channel and the balloon battle top videos I just posted on there. So you've got... those are also on the Galactic Greg. So I've got I've got my prepping, gardening, worm herding channel, Green Greg's, which has evolved more into a prepping news channel. And then that's just G-R-E-G-S on YouTube. And then I've got this space channel on YouTube. It's called Galactic Greg's. Now, unfortunately, there's several other channels that's got a very similar name. So it's Galactic.
I linked those. I linked those on our page. I put the link to the page, but if you send me specific videos, I'll hook those videos onto today's.
I just did that.
Okay.
From Galactic Greg's, I sent you a link to a video on anti-gravity research.
Nice.
And I sent you also a link to a video on multiple balloon launches. There's a one-hour video I did just a week and a day ago.
Okay.
Saturday of last week. Where, 8 balloons were launched from the Climate Center at UAH. Same place that we were at doing this video with Travis Taylor, believe it or not.
Okay.
A little different area of that place, but not far from it.
It was funny because we were watching Skinwalker Ranch and we were listening to Travis Taylor, and it's like, he sounds just like Greg Allison. It's like, well, everybody who lives there who has the same accent probably doesn't know each other. And then we thought, wait a minute. They're all scientists. They might know each other.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Is he a fun guy? He seems like he would be a gas.
He's fun. He's crazy.
Yeah. He seems just really fun. And smart. Because give me the stat again. You told us about scientists in Arkansas. What was that stat again? About how many like PhDs are in your state and all that?
Oh, not Arkansas, Alabama.
Or Alabama. Sorry. Yeah. It's the other A state. I skipped Alaska.
The Huntsville, Alabama area has more engineers per capita. Than any other city in the Western world. It's got more engineers per capita and more PhDs per capita.
In Huntsville, so not in the state, in that town, in that city.
No, it's in this area.
No fooling.
This city, this area, metro area, has more engineers per capita and more PhDs per capita. So you got a lot of brain power in this town. If you want to do something engineering, if you want to have a workforce to support you, this is the place to do it. You try to do it somewhere else, you're going to have a hard time pulling enough engineers in, unless you're already in the engineering thick area. But also the cost of living here is low compared. It's way lower than California. And
everywhere. I mean, you could live on the moon cheaper than you could live here. Yeah. I mean, even with the ride.
And we don't have all the regulations, and we can pack these.
Hey, come on. We love our regulations. You know, we just sit here and we wait until Gavin Newsom tells us what to do, and then we move.
He's got a new one every day, don't he?
Oh, my gosh. It's just they come up with some of the stupidest stuff, and it's like, how are you actually going to enforce that? You know,
yeah, or pay for it.
You know, stupid stuff. Like, there's tons of stuff, and you're like, you can't even enforce that. You shouldn't make rules you can't enforce, otherwise they're not real. I mean, you learn that with your kids, and I don't know. Yeah.
Well, in 1983, I started a chapter of the L5 Society. It was my third chapter I started, actually. I started one in North Carolina. I started one in Alaska. And this chapter is the L5 Society was the society that formed to disband. That was their goal, to disband.
Okay.
You ever heard of a society that formed to disband?
No, not recently.
Well, the object
they were successful.
The object was to disband at a human colony in space at the L5 point. So I won't get it all into what the L5 means, but... So the situation is that it was a space settlement society, kind of way out there.
Okay.
Not so much today. The stuff we've been pushing for is coming around, starting to happen. But I've been president of the chapter. It's 40 years this year. So I've been president of the chapter for, probably 22 years of its history.
No
so
kidding.
I spent a long time as president. I wasn't president when I did this video. I became president again for another year after that, but I've tried to hand it off to the younger people to run it. But anyway, so this, and I also was an officer in the National Space Society, which the L5 Society and National Space Institute merged and became the L5 Society. So
in Huntsville, in your Huntsville area, there, do your volume of engineers there, do they come from there, or do they come from elsewhere and live there?
Well, it's
probably a little both.
We've got a lot of people here that have been inspired to follow. I grew up on Sand Mountain, which is about 70 miles southeast of Huntsville, rural. Grew up on a farm, but I was always inspired for space and things like that. So, it was kind of normal, natural for anybody in the area that has an inspiration toward engineering for any reason to gravitate on in.
Huh.
But we get a lot of people from outside. Huntsville is, in the context of Alabama, is a lot more metropolitan than most of Alabama.
Okay.
So whatever that means, or whatever that is or isn't worth. But it's still got a Republican mayor. And so that's why Huntsville's growing like crazy.
Because he's not telling you what to do every minute of every day.
Yeah, we went last
clever
year
idea.
From being the third largest city in Alabama to being the first in 1 year.
Wow.
So, you
doing
you
something
find,
right.
Yeah, look what's happening to Portland, Seattle, and
San Francisco.
One to heck in the handbasket, San Francisco, businesses are pulling out because they don't like the idea that people can just come in and rob them and get away with it. And, bad business environment in these other areas. L.A., I've been to L.A. now in about 10 or 15 years, but I used to go out there a lot, and it used to look really great. And last time I went out there, I was like, ah! So, I don't know. Well, but anyway, I've seen decline in certain areas. Let me put it that way.
Yeah. Well, we've experienced the decline in certain areas. We live in far northern California, so we don't have a lot of the stuff that, I mean, they're not going to show our area on the news, but boy, you know, they're always coming after our water. You know, and the more we, quote, manage our forests, which, of course, is not what's happening, but the more we do that, the more they catch on fire. And believe it or not, they try to blame it on climate change.
They wouldn't catch fire so much if properly managed.
Right, but you know, instead they just...
I saw a study that claimed the Native Americans actually managed the forest and did a lot of little burns to keep them having big forest fires.
Well, they did, but they didn't let them... I mean, we've been suppressing fire for 100 years.
Yeah, well, they,
you know, so you do that and then light a fire? Well, different outcome.
They actually would start little fires back, you know, before things got out of hand, you know.
Right, but it's going to take a long time to get to a point where that's going to be okay.
In Alaska, the forests up there are fire ecology. A lot of seeds won't even activate unless they get burnt by fire.
Right. So problem is our fires here are so hot that it burns way down into the ground. It just sterilizes everything.
That's because you let everything grow too long.
I know. It's something we fight all the time. But that's you know, it kind of always comes back to more bad science. I mean, we have these people.
The do-gooders are often doing bad in the name of doing good. You know, they lose all sense of what things really are. You know, so you're in a farming community, right?
We have lots of farming and ranching. We used to have a lot of mining, and then here's some more bad science. We should have a show about all the bad science. But yeah, they decided with mining, suction dredge mining in particular, that it put mercury into the river. And it's like
by sucking out minerals,
by removing the mercury, they were putting mercury into the river. It's just, yeah, they just come up with it. So they banned it, and now you know, the riverbeds and the stream beds don't get turned over. I mean, the fish used to follow the suction dredges because through the material that was being sucked off the bottom, the fish couldn't get it. It was all under the rocks, so it was like a giant food blast.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of people who were retired. They were hobby miners, you know, for a lot of years, and they'd retire, and that's what they would supplement their Social Security with, because they'd find a lot of gold out here. And
so have they been prohibited from doing that?
Yep. They banned it. So
basically, they want to ban you from doing anything except sitting on a sofa and playing with a game, picking up on game controllers
like
that submarine used.
Yeah, there's
yeah,
back to the game controller the submarine used. Yeah, and bad choices and bad science. No, true story. It's just like we have a friend. He has a ranch, and they were banning lead ammunition because it was toxic. And so
they're trying to do that on all the national parks.
I know.
And all the national forests now.
He took a hunk of lead down to Sacramento and put it on the legislator's desk, the guy that wrote the bill. And he said, "Do you know what that is?" And the guy's like, "No," because it's lead. And the guy, like, leapt back like it was going to, I don't know, do something to him.
Radioactive.
And he says, "Where did you get that?" He said, "From my ranch." And he goes, "What?" He said, "You do realize it comes from the ground, and it's on the periodic table, and it's a natural element, right?" And, I mean, this guy, he goes, "Where did you think it came from?" The guy thought lead came from a factory.
That's,
that's where food comes from.
Yeah,
like milk and eggs and cheese.
Yeah,
and
yeah, it just came from a factory, and I thought, what the hell? It kind of... We talked to Patrick Moore a few years back, and bailed out of Greenpeace, and he said he bailed out of Greenpeace because they wanted to ban chlorine, and he tried to explain to him it was an element on the periodic table. They had no idea what he was talking about, and he quit. I was like, poor scientists.
For municipal water, if you don't want to be drinking a lot of E. coli, it's got to be in the municipal water system. Now, the fluoride is a different matter. There's no use for fluoride.
Yeah.
Other than to make us all docile, so we'll follow what Uncle Sugar tells us to do.
Exactly.
But when you want Gavin Newsom, what can I do for you?
Yeah, Uncle Gavin.
You'll set as a docile little dope playing on your video games and do nothing else.
Well, we totally want to hear more about the UFO thing. We swerved in, taking a little detour from the balloons, et cetera. But we've had some people say, like, well, he studies all this stuff. He knows all these people. Like, what's he know about the UFO thing? Like, so
okay.
Anyway, we have inquiries, but we have to take a really quick break. And okay. So we have a nice Weird Al song when we come back that should work us nicely into the UFO thing. We'll be right back with our guest, Greg Allison. And you're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
My analyst told me that I was right out of my head, the way he described it. He said I'd be better dead than alive. I didn't listen to his jive. I knew all along that he was all wrong, and I knew that he thought I was crazy, but I'm not, don't know. My analyst told me that I was right out of my head. He said I need treatment, but I'm not that easily led. He said I was the type that was most inclined, when out of his sight, to be out of my mind. And he thought I was nuts, no more ifs, ands, or buts. They say as a child I appeared a little bit wild with all my crazy ideas, but I knew what was happening. I knew I was a genius. What's so strange when you know that you're a wizard at three? I knew that this was meant to be.
This is Officer Joe with your marijuana message. Don't buy the corporate marijuana lies whose end game is to not pay any taxes. California has failed to control the grows. Dispensaries are selling out the back door as well as selling other illicit substances. Do we really need the damage to the environment, suicide, schizophrenia, hyperemesis, cardiac events in elderly users, drug driving crashes, genetic damage, pulmonary damage, neonatal low birth weight, and lost IQ for our youth? No, we don't. Remember, let's be careful out there.
Oh, by the way, I've cracked the code. I figured out the shadow organizations and the Illuminati know that they're finally primed for world domination. And soon you've got black helicopters coming across the border. For the new world order, be aware. There's always someone that's watching you. And still the government won't admit they fake a whole moon landing. Thought control race, psychotronic scanning. Don't mind that. I'm protected cause I made this hat from aluminum foil. Where I had this foil lined, in case an alien's inclined to probe your butt or read your mind. Looks a bit peculiar. Seems a little crazy, but someday I'll prove there's a big conspiracy.
Ah, boy.
Yeah, it's just the first music.
Oh,
yeah, crazy.
I never played that when Dr. Pry was on, because I wasn't sure we had gotten to the level of funny with him that would allow that.
he might have had a hard time with that.
It took us a while to edge into some of it, but I know he was laughing on the inside. He was one of those people who laughs on the inside, which I don't understand. It makes me kind of nervous. Sometimes he laughed on the outside.
Laugh out, yeah.
But I was like, our new best friend, Greg, he would like this.
All righty, so I sent you a video on anti-gravity research, and this lady, whose name was Amy Eskridge, she had started an institute for exotic science. The whole purpose of this was to be able to fund projects that wanted to look into alternative propulsion technologies. And she, what we call breakthrough propulsion technology, and Marshall Space Flight Center actually got involved in it at one time. So it's one of those things that you think would have a big giggle factor, especially among a bunch of serious engineers. But if you look at this video, this room was packed full of engineers.
Okay.
Aerospace experts, many of them many decades up on the ticker clock. And nobody in there was giggling. Everybody was having very serious conversations with her. She was kind of going through a review of the many different projects that a lot of different people have done in the past. I think talking about relative merits, and some of them weren't meritorious, but there was a survey of a lot of the different different alternative breakthrough propulsion efforts through a lot of individuals that tried to launch over the many years. Well, it was almost impossible to get public funding for these things. If you hadn't get successful, it would probably go black, or maybe somebody would eliminate you if you got too close to something. There's been a lot of people scared of the work in this realm. And so she was trying to come up with a means to actually fund people that was independent of all the other things that would encumber them. And a lot of very serious discussion amongst a good crowd of engineers on this topic that would seemingly have a big giggle factor, but nobody was giggling.
Uh-huh.
So I highly encourage everybody to look at this video. What this suggests to me is that it's not outside the realm of possibility. And some of these projects were like a century ago almost that some of the stuff got started. It's not outside the realm of possibility that somebody somewhere might have cracked the case on how to do this kind of propulsion. Now, there's objects seen in the sky that they're having a hard time with conventional, aeroplane technology, explaining how they move, why they're quiet, and how they can zip back and forth the way they do. And so that's got a lot of people mystified. It's like I said, it's not outside the realm of possibility. Somebody on this planet is doing this. Some organization, some government, maybe our own government. A lot of us think that our government may have something that's tightly in the wrap, so tight that they don't even let the normal space people know anything about it. So the normal space people have been trying to come up with their own way to crack into this. So that's kind of the backdrop on that video, and it's a very interesting video. So I highly encourage people to go check that out.
And tell me the name of that one.
Okay,
because I've got this whole list. I want to make sure I put it near the top. I was pulling them all over onto the.
The one I sent you is called Anti-Gravity Technology Survey.
Okay.
Rest in peace, Amy. Unfortunately, Amy passed away.
Oh, okay. So it was one of the top ones. All right, I'll make that at the top of the page. I'm loading them now.
She's no longer with us. She was a young lady, young, attractive lady, really smart, but she had some health issues, and her life is over, unfortunately.
Hmm.
So, no, the government didn't take her out. So, not a conspiracy. She just
take the foil out of your hat.
She actually, it was an auto ending to her life, unfortunately. She was having a lot of pain.
Poor thing.
So, yeah, sad, really sad.
Yeah, we could use all the smart people. Obviously,
yeah, she was brilliant. Had a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of energy, but she had the extreme health situation, and they had her in lots of pain. She couldn't do anything with it.
Hmm.
So, in any event, it's sad to see somebody like that cut down, and maybe all the more reason to watch it. So, I highly encourage people to check out that.
That's awesome.
And I got a couple of videos I posted earlier. It was the same video, just broken two big parts. So, there's a part one, part two version. If you go to my videos and search on most popular video, that's another way to find them.
Okay.
So I've definitely covered the topic there in terms of propulsion. So this idea that it's somebody from out there isn't necessarily the answer. In fact, I did another video. I didn't send you a link to it, in which I said UFOs not from up there. Somebody can always name that video. Not from space. I put a question mark because I don't know for sure. But kind of in that video, I kind of go through if there were vast civilizations of space, some of the things that we ought to be seeing that we're not seeing.
Oh.
So that video is called UFOs Not From Space? Question mark. So, I won't say they're not, but, there's also talks of interdimensionality and things like that. So, maybe these things are not, some people say they're not human. I won't say they are or they are not. But if they are, because, having direct proof is, an engineer or a scientist needs direct proof of something, A lot of people see a lot of things. A lot of people have a lot of experiences. I mean, that's something that when you got so much sight and so much experience, that's not something to ignore. But it's really weird. My own thinking is this is some. We may have some of this, but there may be some. I'm thinking angels and demons, to be honest. personally.
Hmm. Okay.
That's just my personal take on it. You know, that's just, you know, that's not something I can put in the bank, you know, so don't quote me on it. That's just an inclination I got based on so many things I've heard and seen over the many, many years. So I see a dark side to a lot of what's going on in the reported phenomenology. It's got me concerned.
Yeah.
But, you know, some people think we're going to have a fake alien invasion to take over the world and stuff. That one world government, and that song you're talking about.
So I thought the song was sort of perfect. It's like Weird Al was way ahead of his time there.
Yeah. I've done a few videos which I actually wear a tinfoil cap. It's an official tinfoil cap.
Nice.
Tinfoilcap.co. I wear it for fun because it looks good. One of my buddies gave it to me.
See, and people think science is boring. I'm the more people who study these kinds of things that we've talked to over the years, it's like, you know, the science people are very funny.
We have fun. I mean, we can get serious. And, of course, there's some people are just always dead serious all the time. But for the most part, most of us are able to cut up and have some fun.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, it's really nice for the rest of us who really don't understand most of what you're talking about. It's really nice that there's a little fun we can fit in there.
Well, yeah, it keeps, you know, I got my Galactic Grace channel where I'm constantly talking prepping topics and trying to urge people to prep. Well, to do that, you got to tell them how bad things can get, what can go wrong, which is easy to do when you also work from a safety standpoint where you got to think in failure space. And like the guy who creates something, he says, my baby can never be bad. You know, that's a prejudice that inhibits people from seeing the shortcomings in their own systems and designs. Like, the guy with the Titan submarine, submersible, as he called it. But anyway, the situation is that, you know, it takes somebody from the outside to be able to see through a lot of this stuff. But, you know, when you're thinking in failure space, you have to consider what can go wrong. The worst thing that can happen in this country, in my humble opinion, is an EMP attack. And I think an EMP attack is worse than a full-scale nuclear war. Everybody fears the nukes. I fear the EMPs, and here's why. Because a full-scale nuclear attack will take out the cities. Amen. Or if it's not aimed for cities, it may be that they just aim them from the military bases. Whatever they hit and target, it's going to take them out. And then if they do ground bursts, there will be a good bit of fallout, like hardened facilities. If they can harden facilities, you're going to get fallout for hundreds of miles downstream, maybe further, if it depended on the size of the nuke. And, you know, how far away from that blast is actually going to have effective range. It depends on the size of the nuke, too. It may only be do damage maybe 7 miles away from the epicenter. Maybe if you live 12 miles away from the epicenter, if you're not downrange from the radiation, you're probably going to be okay from the blast itself. Now, if we have an EMP, the whole nation's infrastructure goes down, and that could be brought down with a nuclear attack, and the nuclear plants will have EMPs that are local. And I would think that they would probably EMP the whole country before they launch it anyway. An EMP alone means you lose electricity. Okay, yeah, I live without electricity. I'm fine and happy. I'm off-grid. Ain't going to affect me. Well, you got to worry about all the risk. One, your days of going down the store and buying a tank of gas are over because they require electricity to pump it. The trucks that deliver it are also running from fuel that require electricity to pump it. The spare parts keep the trucks running come from being ordered out of parts stores, which all the logistics are on computers now. The days where you go in a parts store and the guys had a shelf full of big books on the counter thumbing through them to find a part, that's over. Everything's on a computer. If you want to pay for, you know, something to get a piece or a part, well, the money in the bank is all electronic now, so what money you got in pockets, all the money you got, that and gold and silver, whatever you can barter. But think about this. No more water is going to be pumped. No fuel is going to get pumped. Communications will be gone. Society will break down. The EMP, the Congressional Task Force and MP, back over a dozen years ago, reported that 9 out of 10 people would die from societal collapse within a year. And a lot of that is due to disease because you're not pumping water, the sewage is not being treated, the sewage is going to back up, cholera, dysentery, diseases, a bear horde, starvation. But I hate to tell you, that report was very optimistic because they forgot to factor in a couple of things. One is that we have these things called nuclear power plants over the country, and normally they got all kinds of safeguards and work great when the entire grid system goes down and you can't get the fuel backup that would keep the backup generators running, which you're required to keep everything cool, you're in a problem. Now, let's say somehow you save the reactors aren't a problem. Well, you still got all these spent fuel rod pools sitting outside the containment building. Some of them got the sheet metal roof over them. That'll be gone soon, because what's going to happen is a typical spent fuel rod pool has a lot more nuclear material than probably a single spent fuel rod pool than all the nuclear warheads in the world, because they have to be optimized for size and weight. But there you got just tons and tons of this stuff. All these fuel rods that come out of that plant over, you know, the last 5 to 7 years, and they're hot. They're very hot because the rheologs are so hot that they typically evaporate 160 gallons of water a minute.
Wow.
So it's not too bad, but when if you can't keep that water on, they evaporate. The water evaporates down. And when the fuel rods get exposed, they're made out of a zircaloy alloy. So alloy of zirconium. When it's hot and in contact with air, it burns. Now, I've had some nuclear engineer try to argue with me that, no, they won't burn, blah, blah, blah. The devil, they won't. I got reports from Sandia National Laboratories that show where they test this stuff, and it all burnt slap up. So, yeah, it burns. And what happens when your fuel rods are burning, it's got this radioactive fuel in it. Well, guess what? It's releasing that fuel. All that's going up in smoke. And what don't is going to fall down the bottom of the pool and collect together, and all the water is going to evaporate out, and it's just going to sit in there radiating and emitting radiation. It's just going to burn for a long time, and then it's going to be down in the bottom of that pool, hot, making molten lava. Hopefully, it don't have enough purity to go critical and blow up. But so what you're going to have is vast amounts of radiation come out of these pools that will dwarf all the radiation from the nukes, and it will also keep going for years, maybe up to 7 years, that this stuff will be emitting vast amounts of radiation going through our atmosphere, whereas the radiation from the nukes will mostly be gone for 2 weeks.
Hmm.
So I would say that's your bigger problem, is these spent fuel rod pools. We need to do something. We need to come up with some nuclear technology that reprocesses that. Of course, the uranium industry and all the industries that supply nuke plants are going to fight that, and they have in the past. But we got to overcome that, because it's a national security, national safety issue that's not been well enough addressed. So I think Tom Popick was the first person to identify this. I thought I was, when I discovered he beat me to it. I thought I was the first person to start ringing this bell. I discovered he actually covered it before me. So he's another guy in the EMP community. So the situation is that is dreadful, that's going to take you out. And if you're living up there off-grid, you're going to be in trouble from that. And if somehow if you're, we got cesium-137 from Fukushima. But Fukushima got control really quickly because they had fire trucks that went in and pumped water over those spent fuel rods all the time into the reactors and everything. Which now they got a lot of water they're about to release to the ocean, pumping water on these things for years. But the thing is that these nuclear spent fuel rods will be a huge issue. You're going to get radiation all over the world. It may not be enough to get everybody, but the people that especially the heavier elements fall out closer to the power plant in the first 20 miles in any direction is going to be a huge problem. 25 miles, maybe up to 50 miles is going to be a problem. And it could be a problem everywhere just because there'd be so much of it for so long. Fukushima, what we got was very low level. But if you take 7 years of this stuff, and we got 100 of these plants across the country, and then if it's a worldwide event, you got more plants around the world.
Oh yeah.
So I
remember Dr. Pry telling us that once that gets interrupted, once the grid gets interrupted, that pulling it, bringing it back up, it's not like flipping a switch. We have to take a really quick break, but when we come back, maybe you could kind of remind us about that. It's been a little bit since we spoke with him about that.
I'll be happy to talk about that.
But that's a really critical thing that I think those of us who don't obviously deal with the power grid, you think, well, okay, they'll bring the power grid back up. But that was a monumental thing that once he started explaining it, it's like, oh, well, that just got farther away. We'll be right back. Our guest is Greg Allison, and you're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
When the lights go out and you throw yourself about in the dark, that's where you learn to see. When the lights go out,
the iconic Happy News song. So before we talk about the bad news, we should talk about the happy news.
Yeah, well, I hope it only goes in the spirit of the sky before we get through a good life here.
Hey,
well,
Greg,
that's the problem with all this EMP thing. So what I talked about was the threat of these spent fuel rod pulls and how they will greatly affect everyone. So there's a couple other things people need to take into account, though. Then we'll talk about the grid, how vulnerable it is.
All right.
So why it takes so long to fix it. And I know a lot of time's running down here, so I'll try to be quick.
It's okay. It happens all the time.
I know, we run out of time.
That's why we did like a million shows with Dr. Pry, because every time we did it, it like opened up a whole new can of worms. And then
can of worms.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
all right.
Yeah, yeah. So you know, we're covering everything from spirit in the sky to we don't want to die. All right. So this whole thing now is that other things will take people out that didn't get accounted for, and that 9 out of 10 people will pass away. What a lot of people aren't accounting for is an EMP, nuke attack will take out most of the people in the cities. If the cities aren't nuked, these cities are going to have millions and millions and millions of starving people in it. And what are they going to do? They're going to pour out like an ant out of a fire ant nest that's been kicked hard, and they're going to scour all the countryside. So you're sitting up nice and pretty with your off-grid homestead, and suddenly you got hordes of what to you looks like zombies attacking your homestead, looking to eat every blade of grass in you. Because at that point in time, they're so hungry, you will be referred to as long pork. And that's the pork that walks on two legs.
Yikes.
Long legs, long pork. So, yeah, they're not just looking for your preps. You're looking like a pork chop. And I got a friend I nicknamed Lamb Chop a while back because I told her she lived up in upper state New York. I said, yeah, when the grid goes down, you're going to be a lamb chop. And she actually get picked up and moved to way out nowhere in Arizona. So she's not a lamb chop anymore.
No, she's just going to be all gristly. She's out in Arizona.
She's got water.
Water.
They got
well,
to get off of her up in her part. It's up near, yeah, it's up in the northern part of Arizona.
Oh, okay. The nice right part.
So, yeah, it's cooler there than even where I'm at in Alabama, believe it or not. Not like Phoenix. Phoenix is going to be one of them zombie zones.
Oh, yeah.
People and so hot. They'll be hot zombies. Anyway, so you got to take that into account. You got to take into account. And then the last thing that they didn't account for, there's some mill. Everybody on the farm is growing enough food. It'll be fine for the people out in the country. Well, no, not really, because if you go around, I did a video on my Green Greggs channel where I surveyed farms. And I went for miles and miles driving around in South Georgia, which is very rural up here in North Alabama, and just driving by farms. That don't have a garden. That don't have a garden. That don't have a garden. That don't. I would go for miles and not see a garden.
Uh-huh.
And I looked at it from Google Earth, and I was seeing the same thing. Very few really have gardens that is tiny.
Or it's like the garden my dad did where everything turned into, I don't know, they had so much chard, they could have opened up some sort of weird chard distributorship. Nobody liked it. And they couldn't make it stop growing.
When I was a kid, everybody had gardens, big gardens. And they put food up, and they would have like 7 years worth of canned food on their shelves. And that's just how they did it. You know, it wasn't called prepping back then. It was just good old country survival. It was smart, just being smart. And that was just the way people lived once upon a time. Well, now everybody, you got 3 days worth of food at most in their home, the fat. And the grocery stores are just in time. And the farms, if you think they're going to be able to feed themselves, they're mostly growing market. I mean, well, most of the time the farmers are renting their land out, the big farmers. And what they're growing is wheat and soybeans and corn. Well, you don't go so far on that. And the sad thing about all those crops are going, they're GMO seeds that they have to buy from Monsanto. They're not even allowed to store their own seeds anymore. They have to buy them. So they can't even plant next year's crop. If they could, they don't have fuel to run their tractors. They don't have any pesticides, herbicides, or any of that stuff they used to grow with. So these farms are going to be vacant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some people got livestock, but will they be able to feed and hate or keep the livestock going? That's about the only thing around to eat. And livestock's going to go real fast because some zombies pouring out of the city will be sure to poach that stuff real quick. And if you think you're going to live with a high-caliber rifle going out and hunting, that's what I've heard a lot of people tell me. Well, way back, you know, previous turn of the century, when there were far fewer people and they had muzzleloaders, they wiped out all the game practically in no time flat. Anything bigger than a rat or a squirrel or a rabbit, and they got kind of sparse. Even the Great Depression, you know, rabbits got kind of sparse. So there's going to be so that's kind of food ain't going to last. You know, we had, what was that pigeon used to fly over that would darken the skies? That guys with muzzle loading shotguns drove to extinction.
Yeah.
Pigeon carrier. What was it called? Anyway, there used to be a pigeon that used to darken the skies. That just
passenger
pigeons, right?
Carrier
pigeons.
Pigeon.
We had to call a lifeline. Thanks, Mike.
It don't even exist anymore because of a bunch of guys with muzzle-loading shotguns a long time ago just extincted them. And so this whole notion, people go, I got it covered, I'll survive. Not necessarily. Survival is going to be hard. It's going to be bleak. So I don't think, be honest, I think the survival rate, when it's all said and done, especially with the violence that will occur, will be somewhat south of 5%.
Wow.
It might be 1% or 2%. It's going to be bleak if this happens. This is why we need to harden our grid, and we need to make sure that somebody can't hit us while in the process, because it's going to take a long time. They don't hit us with an EMP here in the next few years. Like we're so close to having maybe a war with China over Taiwan. And China's come up with these ideal weapons. So one of the most vulnerable thing, there's two things that are particularly vulnerable on the grid. The SCADAs, the Supervisor Control and Data Acquisition and Computers and everything, which for people out in the industry, they're kind of like a programmable logic computer, or PLC. Some people that work in industrial society don't know what that is. These computers that control pipelines, power lines, in big buildings, maybe HVAC systems. Factories use PLCs to control industrial equipment. But the SCADAs are real prevalent. They can be fried by the E1 part of the pulse. The most vulnerable thing, hardest to replace, is those high-power transformers. They weigh 200 to 400 tons apiece. They're as big as a house. There's only a handful of rail cars, and I mean you can count them on one hand, with the fingers on one hand. Rail cars or trucks that can move these things. Yeah, there were factories that built them, but they built them at rate for, you know, we've had grid expansion and stuff like that. They're not there to rebuild everything if they could. And if they could build them, we don't have the means to transport them. But let's say, but if you ordered one today, let's say you ordered one, it would take you 18 months to get it on your loading dock, and then you got to install it. Well, see, by then, everybody's gone. Who's going to install it? But worse than that, the grid goes down. So you go, my transformer got fried by the EMP. So how you going to, and it will fry the coils in. These coils are hand-wound coils. They use technicians that are highly specialized at doing this. Everyone's hand-wound. The guys that do this are, highly trained. South Africa tried to replace them. They thought, well, we'll build our own after they had got hit by a sodachrome mass ejection. And the ones they built last somewhere like 3 to 7 years, they fried. Just they weren't no good.
Wow.
They thought, well, we got this. We got engineers. We can do this. And didn't pan out. So if you lose all of these, you're going to be in serious trouble because it's going to take forever to get these things over if you could. The problem is, my transformer got fried. Well, let me call so-and-so. They're made mostly in China, South Korea, and Germany. There's a plant that makes some smaller ones down in Montgomery. But so if you want to get these things, you try to call the factory. Well, you ain't got a telephone. How you going to call them? We go on the Internet. Well, there ain't no Internet. Well, I'll find somewhere. I'll get money out of my bank. Well, there's no bank because all the money's electronic in the bank, too. So you ain't got the money to pay for it. You ain't got a way to order it because the Internet's done. Everything's over the Internet. You ain't got a way to call them. You ain't got a way to go on the Internet and order it. If you could get in a canoe and paddle over there, because there ain't no fuel to run boats, because they need to pump that too. So if you get in a canoe or a sailboat and paddle over there to wherever you want to get your transformer from, say you could do it somehow. It would take you 18 months to get it. But problem is, if we haven't had a worldwide situation, if it's a solar coronal mass ejection, it could take out most of the ones in the world. So they may not be operating either. Your plant here in the United States is probably going to be operating because they got hit by the same thing that everybody else got hit by. So what are you going to do? How are you going to get these things? Where are you going to go? And if you get them, it'd be 18 months till you got it. And let's just say suddenly they had you multiply their technicians by several thousand so that they could, you know, stand up the rate. If you could order these things, if they had production facilities and everything was working, it would take you 10 years to replace them all if everything was working. But nothing's working anymore. And by the time you get them in, you got to have the labor force to install them.
Sure.
Get them. Well, your labor force is, you know, today, find labor to do anything. Today, right now. You want to find somebody to do something for you. I have the hardest time. I run a little farm here. I hire labor all the time, or try to. It's exceedingly difficult. And so what you run into is you can't find people today. Well, imagine what it's going to be if, let's say, we'll take the optimistic approach, say only 9 out of 10 people pass away. Hey, let's say that was pessimistic. Let's say if we only lose a third of the population or two-thirds, something like that. Where are you going to find the people to do the work? How are you going to get it done? And these are skilled workers, too. It's not just, you can't just grab somebody.
Well, and how do you even reach them? So you might have a guy who has a lot of skill, but the communication doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, there's no communications. And if you got it, how would you move it? Because you don't have the fuel to run the trucks. If you had the fuel to run the trucks, the spare parts it would take to maintain them. These trucks, you know, trucks are in shops all the time.
Yeah.
And they take, because they do a lot of heavy driving, you know, the spare parts, the repair is not going to be available. So then everything breaks down. The whole society unravels. Everything. You're not going to be able to think them.
Yeah. And the more you think about it, the more things are missing in the puzzle. Hey, Greg, before we run out of time in the last minute and a half, Freedom Restoration Foundation, I'm going to post that. Can you give people a little elevator?
I'm present on that group. We've got 1,000 members on our Facebook page. And then go to the Action Center page and scroll down past our alerts. I need a new webmaster. We need to update those. But if they go down past our alerts, it's got all kind of information about how to find your state and federal officials, how to contact them by phone, internet, what to say, how to do it, everything you need to know to take action. Because this is one of the things I'm big on is keeping our freedoms.
Mm-hmm.
I'm big on securing the grid and keeping us free.
Well, you kind of can't go wrong there.
Well, some people don't agree with it. Some people think we shouldn't have a freedom of speech because freedom of speech hurts some people's feelings.
Well, yeah, we learned that at the fair. Yeah. Don't talk about how people become people because before they're born, they're obviously, I don't know what they are, rabbits, walnuts, something.
Yeah.
They're not actually small little humans inside their moms. That was distressing for somebody.
Start breathing, right? I don't know. Those people are crazy. My youngest daughter was born 6 weeks premature, and she came out just fine. Didn't have to go in no incubator. Didn't need nothing. She was just fine.
Yeah, that's.
We're just gonna have to, you know. I think it is just a matter of letting people know that they're not by themselves, and that there are other people who think like they do, and that they're not actually crazy. And the information
direct people to my Green Greg's YouTube channel, my Galactic Greg's YouTube channel, the Freedom Restoration Foundation. We also got a group on Facebook.
Oh yeah, I actually had that on there already. I had the Freedom Restoration Foundation on there. So, yeah, people can go click on all these links. They're all posted now, and the videos are on there as well. We have to run away because it's going to cut us off. Thank you so much, Greg. We've been chatting with Greg Allison.
Yep. Thank you, Greg, for coming on. We're going to do it again. We got
by the
Science
Bastion of Huntsville.
Yeah.
God bless you.
Lots more questions.
We'll be back next week. WeThePeopleRadio.us.